Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. There is controversy brewing around Baltimore over money for, what people call it, for school programs, others saying for community schools, and even that definition is up for debate, what we mean by that. We've dealt with the issue of community schools a lot over the years here on the Mark Steiner Show. We're doing much more in the coming months when we look at the examples of what's been happening in massive ways, more massive than Baltimore, in places like Chicago and New Orleans, where community schools have transformed not just the schools, but communities and pedagogy itself. We are joined here in studio by Mark Gaither, who's principal of the General Wolfe Academy, Shornisha Street, who works as a home health care aide and is mother of two children who attend Dr. Bernard Harris Senior Elementary. Good to have you in the studio with us.
Thank you, Mark.
And Jake Berzoff-Cohen, who's with us, organizer of Child First Authority and After School Program. Good to have you with us, Jake.
Glad to be here.
Is that still with Build, no longer with Build?
So Child First was started by Build. We are a member institution, but a totally separate nonprofit.
All right. Join us here at 410-319-8888. The mayor's office sent us this statement, and let me read the statement, because the money was cut, I understand, for community schools in the city. But the mayor's office wrote in, and we asked them to join us. Improving the lives of Baltimore's children, youth, and families is a central priority of Mayor Rawlings Blake administration. The mayor's vision of a growing city includes ensuring Baltimore City youth will be ready to learn when they enter school and ready to earn when they leave school. Rather than just focusing on increasing funding for programs, the mayor has focused increasing positive outcomes for youth and making sure programs deliver results. In the current fiscal year, $381.7 million is allocated to programs that directly service children and youth. This includes $332.1 million in operating funding and $49.6 million in capital-related funding, was sent to us by Ian Brennan, Press Secretary, Mayor's Office of Policy and Communication, with some background we'll get to as well. So what's the issue as you see it?
So, once again, thank you for having us on the program, Mark. And we know that the mayor considers, as she said, making youth and youth opportunities an essential priority. And she has consistently stood up behind youth, and we celebrate her and thank her for that. And in 2011, she committed to Build and to the city when she was running for mayor that she would double after-school funding during her term. And after-school funding has since been combined, and Mark Gaither will talk about this a little bit later, has been combined with this idea of community schools. So they've been tethered together for their funding. And so over the course of her term, she agreed to double this funding from what was then $4.8 to $9.6 million. And last year, she followed through on the commitment, and she increased it by about $750,000. And this year in the budget, that increase is actually not currently in the budget, so it's actually a cut at this point. And there's been nothing about any kind of an increase that would continue that commitment. And so that's the primary issue. And we're talking about dollars and cents, but I'd like, if possible, Ms. Street could talk more about what this means.
Let me just kind of outline some stuff here. I do want to talk to Shanice, because I really want to hear the story of what happens to really human beings in this process and not just the policy. But what's the difference here between community schools and after-school programs? There's a huge difference. You're talking about after-school programs here, not community schools, really.
No, we're talking about both. Last year, all of this money comes through the Family League of Baltimore City, from the city to the actual community-based organizations and the schools. And up until last year, Family League saw this as two different entities, community schools and out-of-school time. They really had a transformation this past year that brought those two together, where the overarching program is called Community and Schools Engagement. One major part of that is after-school programs, but the community school structure is the strategy that helps implement programs like after-school. And so community schools is broader than after-school. It deals with real wraparound services that support kids, in social-emotional health, in tutorial programs for academics. It's not just a school issue. Unfortunately, it says community schools, but it's really about the larger picture.
So, and Shornisha, I'm curious how this affects you. I mean, you work full-time.
Yes, I work full-time. My husband works full-time. the children, they go to the after-school program Monday through Thursdays, and it's a part of our routine. It's a part of our schedule. This is something that, you know, has become very accustomed to my family. Mm-hmm. And,
let me get you close to that mic so people can really hear you. I'm sorry, Shanisha. There you go. That's not your fault. It's our fault. Go ahead.
You know, it's a part of our everyday routine.
Right.
And not only is it a routine for my family, but for other families as well. You know, I believe in structure, and children need, you know, structure for after school time, you know. So I'll give you a scenario how the program keeps me and my family safe.
Sure, sure.
I work 18-hour shifts at times. So
18-hour shifts?
18-hour shifts
at
time. Straight through.
Go ahead.
So this particular afternoon, I was kind of tired. I said, well, let me just go get the kids, bring them home so I can relax, because I had to do this 18-hour shift again. So I said, something said to me, Sharnisha, stay and volunteer. I decided to volunteer. And if I would have just took my children home, we would have been caught up in crossfire. Can you imagine such a thing? This program has saved me and my girls' life. You know, it's so much important, not only to me, but to the father, to the single father that is working and have his child at an after-school program. And, you know, he's able to put in an extra hour to make an 8-hour shift. And then he has that time to get to his child. And, you know, his child is safe. He don't have to worry about anybody doing anything to her. She's being mistreated. Homework is being done. She even have a meal because, you know, families, you know, we work all day, and it takes time to prepare a meal for a child. And also, it helps out the teenage child that is taking care of her brothers and sisters for whatever the reason. You know, she has time to do her homework, have time to prepare a meal. These things, after-school programs are very important to the community. It keeps our kids safe. It keeps them engaged. My girls, I just adore them so much. I adore Miss May Williams.
Who is she?
I'm sorry. Miss May Williams is the director of the after-school program at Child First at Dr. Bernard Harris.
Uh-huh.
Miss Denise Norfleet Walker. And they have this incredible teacher by the name of Miss Irvin. Now, children go to school every day. I'm hoping that their children go to school every day. But even during the instructional academics at school, children are not always able to catch on. So, like, at the after-school program, they have STEM support, math, science, and technology. They have cultural engagement. My children are 8 and 9 and entrepreneurs. They're making, selling jewelry. They take tap dance lessons.
This is all an after-school program.
Yes. They are master chefs. I would have loved to brought you a cookbook. I'm going to make sure that you get one.
I just bring me the food. I'll be fine.
They're doing so much. They go on trips. And it's more than politics, you know? I mean, we pay taxes. We want to see the money work for us. Don't come and give us your guidelines saying that, oh, since your school isn't a community resource school, you can't have this. I'm like,
so let me ask you this question. This is important because I think it's important in that you know, a couple of things. One thing from my head as you were speaking. One is that, you know, we have this. We talk about it, but the reality is that the majority of parents in our city school system are like you.
Yes.
They are working hard at jobs that often don't pay enough money.
Yes.
And these after-school programs are a lifeline.
Yes.
To keep their kids stable, to keep the family stable, while you and their husband, the father of children who's there with his children,
mm-hmm.
are trying to make things work.
Yes.
Living in neighborhoods that are battling to secure themselves as decent places to live for families.
Yes.
That's what you're in the middle of.
Yes, exactly.
So what would it mean if this school funding does not happen? What would happen to you, your children, your husband? Well, how would it affect your life if that didn't exist anymore?
It would be devastating. It would be really devastating if this program is not at our school. And the bottom line is that without the promise from our mayor that we elected, that we respect, that promise, that committed to double after-school funding, without her help, our school will close. Dr. Bernard Harris will not have an after-school program, and our children will be in the street. They'll sit around, watch TV, gain weight. You know, it's a lot. They're endangered. It will be completely devastating.
And the school program and your after school program goes from what time to what time? How's that work?
The after school program goes from 2:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon, Monday through Thursdays.
That's big.
It's huge. These kids need this. They'll fail. You know, they may not be successful in school. They'll struggle. It's nothing worse than giving 100% of yourself and not be able to make the cut. And then when you have the teachers like Ms. Irvin that goes above and beyond to assist these children and to make sure that they're actually catching on to what's going on, it's very important.
So what is the social the politics of all this? I mean, how does this? I mean, is this a done deal? These schools are not going to be after school programs like this one are gone. They're gone.
So just to clarify around Dr. Bernard Harris in particular, because it's kind of a unique circumstance. So Dr. Bernard Harris has been funded as an after school program for the last 16 years. So Child First has been there for 16 years, served thousands of students coming through the school, and it's been funded for the last 6 or so years by a grant, federal grant called 21st Century. And that grant has run out. And last year, when Mark Gaither spoke about the shift to community schools, Dr. Bernard Harris was it applied to become a community school to get funding from the Family League. And because there's a limited pot of funding, it wasn't chosen. So if there is no increase next year to Family League's funding for community schools and after school programs, then Dr. Bernard Harris will not have a program next year because there will be no more funding for it.
Well, and also central to that is there's over 200 educational school programs in the city, 200 schools. Some of them are co-located in one building, but over 200 school sites. 38 of them have after-school programs that receive this type of funding from the city. 20% of our kids in Baltimore are served by this small...
How many kids?
20%.
20% of the kids.
Are served by this small pot of money that's put up and that every year is fought for and struggled to maintain. And so, Ms. Street speaks about what it would do to her community if this was to go away. There are, hundreds, over 100 other communities that are struggling just to have anything. And while we've had community schools and after school programs for a number of years, it's stagnated. We've gotten to a point where if we don't push forward, as the mayor committed to as a candidate, if we don't push forward, we're basically going backwards. We're not going to reach that point where we're able to reach a tipping point. Where we can have the successes that we've been a community school with an after-school program for 7 years at Wolf Street.
So let me be clear. How much money are we talking about?
This year we're talking about increasing to $7.2 million. So we're really talking about from last year an increase of $1.8
million. And so we're talking about losing $7.2 million or losing $1.8 million?
No. So we would be losing – so if there's no – so right now the budget is at 4.6. Last year it was funded at 5.4. So the cut would be – about $750,000. That would be the cut if there was no increase. And we're talking about increasing. We're talking about just like last year there was an increase, keeping through on this commitment.
So I want to be clear. So the cuts that would take place would directly affect the program at your school but not affect other programs. Is that right?
Yes.
There would have to be a reduction of $750,000 somewhere.
And we're talking about, if you're talking about 20% of the kids in the city, we're talking about that's like 17,000 children.
Exactly right. Yeah. 17,000 kids.
17,000.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in just a moment, to get to your point on the politics, Mark, the city council has been a huge ally in this. And so around the city, schools and after-school programs and community-based organizations have really done incredible organizing work to approach their city council people, to bring them out and get them to commit that increasing after-school and community school funding will be their number one priority. And to this date, 9 city council members have committed that this will be their number one priority in the budget this year and that they'll tell the mayor that this is their number one. And so that's Councilman Reisinger, Councilman Cole, Councilwoman Holton, and the list goes on.
So we only have like 90 seconds left or so we have to wrap up here. So what can people do?
So people can call the mayor, email the mayor, and let them know just how important this is and thank her for her commitment to double after-school funding over her term.
Yes, I would like to just say to the mayor that we respect you, we honor you, and we also believe in the commitments that you make. And we desperately believe that you want our after-school programs to be funded because they work. I want you to know that they work. So, please.
Shanisha Street, I want to thank you for being in the studio.
Thank you.
And for doing the work you do and taking care of children the way you do and being an advocate for our kids and everybody else's kids. Mark Gaither, Principal General Wolf Academy. Good to have
you
here.
Wolf Street Academy. We changed the name. Wolf Street Academy.
Wolf Street Academy. Yep. Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Wolf Street Academy.
That's okay. Thank you for having me.
And Jake Berzov-Cohen, Organizer for Child First Authority. Good to have you here.
Last point. And just also, if folks want to – if they want to come out, City Council Taxpayers Night, June 13th.
Thanks. So thank you all for being here. It's good to have you all
thank
in the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Mark.
I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Marvronis. Our engineers are Andre Melton. Our interns Lila Warshaw. Theme music by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. Go to steinershow.org to podcast this show and any of our other shows. Find information on our guests and the work they do. And you can download and listen to our podcast on iTunes. And remind you all tonight, join us here 4 to 7 p.m. I'll be here. Anthony McCarthy will be here. And the host of Tell Me More, Michelle Martin, will be here. So come join us 4 to 7 p.m. this evening. And for Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Michelle Martin is next.